So good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits and our In the Park service. So nice to see you all here on what seems like our very first day of summer. It's so beautiful and warm today. You all know, and for those who are watching on video, that I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm so glad that you have joined us here for the service today. And so I'm going to begin our service today by sharing with you our vision statement. And so if you know it, I invite you to say it along with me. And if you don't, I invite you just to take it in. It goes like this. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that's what each and every single one of us is doing here, is we are awakening to the presence of the divine that lives within us. The presence of Spirit, of God, of the Infinite One, that specifically expresses within us as love and as peace, as the truth of our own wholeness, as our own innate power, because what happens, it's only as we come to recognize that that is always within us, that then we have access to it at all times. Irregardless of what's happening in the world, we can call forward peace or love or stand in the truth of our own wholeness or our own authentic power. And as we do that, we come to the world differently. And as we do that, we shift the situations that we are in, the conversations. Things are different because we come to the world differently. And as we come as that presence of love and peace and wholeness, we actually are not just benefiting us in our own lives, but we are adding to that collective consciousness of humanity and bringing that presence into this world and making it more available to everyone. And so I thank every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be awakening to your own true nature, and to be being a beneficial presence in this world. So thank you to all of you for that. And so I'm going to invite our practitioner, Carol Borowick, forward, and she's going to come and lead us in an evocation and do a contemplative reading for us. And so I invite you just to settle into yourself, to find that place of stillness within you that is not in reaction to the world, but just the beingness of your own spirit. And I will invite you also to sing. We're going to listen to the song We Are by Denise Rosier, and you are invited to sing along or just to allow that to pull you in a little bit deeper.
In this beautiful moment, I recognize that we are on holy ground. As we come together, we create our sacred space, the space where we unite with the divine. And I know that all of life is the divine expression going on all around us and within us. And as we turn within this morning to our very special sacred place within, we meet our God and we know our oneness with our Creator, with each other, and with all life. here we find peace, quietness, wisdom, harmony, joy, and love. Here we find strength. Here we find unity. And I am so grateful for this morning. And I know that each of us is inspired by Reverend Jennifer's message, for we know that Spirit speaks through here to each of us in just the perfect way. And I give thanks and bless every person here, every person who's helped to create our beautiful Sunday morning. I give thanks and bless Ray for his wonderful gifts to us, for the practitioners, for everybody who makes our day perfect, and for those who are in our prayers. I know this day unfolds in beauty and in joy, and so it is. Good morning, everyone. I have a reading today from Guess Where? 365 Days of Richer Living from Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker. And it is called Today I Bestow the Essence of Love Upon Everything. The law of God is perfect, and the law of God is love. We are made perfect in the law when we enter into the communion of love with one another and with the invisible essence of life. Today I desire that everything I think shall be from the heart as well as from the head. I wish to release kindness and love, sympathy and understanding, peace and joy. No condemnation, no judgment or fear shall go from me to anyone or anything. Today I bestow the essence of love upon everything. Everyone shall be lovely to me. My soul meets the soul of the universe in everyone. Everything is beautiful. Everything is meaningful. This love is a healing power, touching everything into wholeness, healing the wounds of experience with its divine balm. I know that this love essence, the very substance of life, the creative principle back of everything, flows through my whole being, spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical. It flows in transcendent loveliness into my world of thought and form, ever renewing, vitalizing, bringing joy and harmony and blessing to everything and everyone it touches. And so it is.
Again. And so many of us that are here actually just finished reading the book Tattoos on the Heart, written by Father Gregory Boyle. He is a Jesuit priest working in one of the poorest areas of the diocese and working in an area of Los Angeles that has the highest amount of gangs and gang activity. The book Tattoos on the Heart was so inspiring, I'm sure as those of you who read it agree with me. Father Boyle works with ex-gang members and people who have been recently released from prison. He helps them find jobs and helps place them in jobs. And part of that is through an organization, a nonprofit that he has started called Homeboys Industries, which has a restaurant and a bakery and a tattoo removal and silk screening, which are some of the jobs that he places people in. But even more important than him placing people in jobs, to me, in reading it, is the way that he sees those people that he works with, the way that he holds them, the way he sees them, the way that God sees them. He sees them as valuable and as worthy, as lovable and as good. And in turn, because he is seeing them that way, they come to be able to see themselves through those eyes. Through his compassion and kinship, through those eyes that he sees them, those people that he works with come to make different choices in their lives. They come to make better choices and create better lives for themselves. In that work that he is doing, he returns them to themselves so that they once again find home in themselves and can see themselves as who they really are. That ministry of Father Boyle is Jesus' life in action. His ministry is seeing beyond what the world sees, seeing and holding people in unconditional positive regard, enabling them to realize in turn that they are wholly acceptable, that they are wholly acceptable in the eyes and in the vision of God, and that they are worthy. Reading this book has given me a new and huge appreciation for Jesus and his ministry and how he ministered to people as he walked this earth. For Jesus left no one on the outside. He befriended the sinners and the outcasts, and he ate with them. And in Tattoos of the Heart, Father Boyle says, Jesus' strategy is a simple one. He eats with them. Precisely to those paralyzed in this toxic shame, Jesus says, I will eat with you. He goes where love has not yet arrived. He gets his grub on with them. Eating with the outcasts rendered them acceptable. And so I'm also reading another book at this time, which is called Jesus Through Pagan Eyes. And it's written by Reverend Mark Townsend, who was a clergyman of the Church of England and who is now a priest of the Open Episcopal Church. And he talks in this book about the three depictions of Jesus. And one is Jesus, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, who walked the earth and taught and ministered to the people of his day. There is also the mythological Christ, the Christ of faith, the Christ of the Christian church, upon who the faith of the entire Christian church is built. And there is also the universal or cosmic or mystic Christ, which is the universal spark of divinity manifest within all people and all things. And so one of the core principles of Centers for Spiritual Living talks about that mystic Christ, that cosmic Christ principle that is embedded within each of us, that is a part of each of us and innate to our being. Jesus says that the Christ is not a man, but the Christ is a principle. He's talking about that principle of the cosmic Christ. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, Christ is not limited to any person, nor does he appear in any one age. He is as eternal as God. Christ is God's idea of himself. Ernest Holmes also said, as the human gives way to the divine in all people, they become the Christ. And so Christ is God's idea of itself in me and in you and in every single one of us. And so as we give way to our own divine nature, and in turn, as we then live from a consciousness of oneness, one with that infinite presence, one with spirit, one from that which we have all come, we are then giving way to our own Christ nature. The problem is, we don't always come from our Christ nature. The problem is, so much more of the time, we actually come from the perspective of our ego. And when we come from the perspective of our ego, we're not seeing through our Christ nature. And when we come from the perspective of our ego, oftentimes we do not see other people as wholly acceptable. We do not see the intrinsic worth or value in some people. We don't see them as lovable or as worthy. Instead, what we do is judge them. And we live in a society that judges people and places people in a hierarchy. And that hierarchy and that value is often determined by success and by accomplishments and by wealth. So you're a good kid if you get good grades, or you're a good kid if you're good at sports, or you follow the rules and you don't get in trouble. You are a worthy adult if you climb that ladder of success. And the higher you climb that ladder of success, the more valuable you are. Do you see how our society says that's what a person's value is? And if you happen to be homeless, or you don't have a job, or you're poor, or you've made mistakes in your life, or you've been in jail, then you are not as good as, or as worthy or valuable as other people. We judge those people as less than, and we treat them as if they are less valuable. And in addition to that, we tend to see people who are different from us, people who live a different lifestyle, people who are of a different religion or a different ethnicity or a different political party even. We see them as other. And when we see those people as other, what happens oftentimes is we keep them outside of our circle of belonging. We don't bring them into our own circle of belonging. And yet, as spiritual beings, we have this longing to experience our oneness with the divine. And we have a longing as spiritual beings to experience our oneness, our interconnectedness with everyone and everything. And we also want to experience our own goodness. We want to experience our own spiritual beauty. We want to experience our own spirit. But the problem is so often we forget who we are. We forget that we aren't our ego self. We forget that we are spiritual beings here having a human experience. We forget why we have come here to planet Earth. And so the title of my talk today is, What Are You Up To? So what are you up to? Why did you come here to planet Earth? What are you up to here on this planet? And so I invite you just to close your eyes for a second. And if you knew the answer to this question, how would you answer it? Why have I come here? Why am I here? What have I come here for? you go ahead and open your eyes? And so on our Zoom call this week, that was one of the things that we talked about. For each of us, why have we come here? And we got answers like to learn and to teach, to contribute and to make life better for people and for animals, to be of service, to be loving and kind and gracious. And my own answer was that I am here to discover my own goodness, to discover my own wholeness, to discover who I am, and then to bring that to the world in a beneficial way. And so what I'm talking about today really is that we can use the life of Jesus and the life of Father Boyle as an example of how to live in this world and how to be in this world. We can live from that example of inclusion and of love and of seeing beyond the surface to the truth that God is embodied in everyone. And as we do that, we awaken to our own spirits. When we practice doing what Jesus did, when we act as Jesus acted on this planet, we awaken to our own divine nature. We awaken to the Christ principle that lives within us. Following in those footsteps of Jesus allows us to discover who we are. It allows us to discover our own goodness. It allows us to discover the love within us that has no bounds. It allows us to discover our own Christ nature. And you know what the thing is? You don't have to discover it first in order to be it. As you live that example and act as if out in the world, then you discover that Christ nature that was within you all the time. You discover your own divine nature that has always been present by acting as if. And so I'd like to share a story with you out of Tattoos in the Heart. Goes like this. He says, I met Anthony through legendary Eastside probation officer Mary Ridgway. Help this kid, she pleads over the phone. Mary told me where I might bump into him, since his last known address was his car, left for dead on Michigan Street. At 19 years old, Anthony had been on his own for a while. His parents had disappeared long ago into a maelstrom of heroin and prison time, and he was fending for himself, selling the occasional vial of PCP to buy Big Macs and the occasional pastrami madness at Jim's. He was a tiny fella, and when he spoke, his voice was puny, reed thin, and high-pitched. If you closed your eyes, you'd think you were conversing with a 12-year-old. One day, we're both leaning against his tore-up lowrider, and the conversation drifting towards, what do you want to be when you grow up theme. I want to be a mechanic, he said. Don't know nothing about cars, really, but I'd like to learn. My mechanic, Dennis, on Brooklyn Avenue, was something of a legend in the barrio. Dennis could fix any car. A tall, pole-thin Japanese-American in his near 60s, Dennis was a chain smoker. He was not a man of few words. He was a man of no damn words at all. He just smoked. You'd bring your car in, complaining of some noise under the hood, and hand the keys to Dennis, who would stand there with a cigarette dangling from his lips. He'd take your keys. When you returned the next day, he'd give you your car, purring as it should. No words were ever exchanged during this entire transaction. So I go to Dennis to plead my case. Look, Dennis, I say, sitting in his cramped office, truly a smoke-filled room. Hire this kid, Anthony. True enough, he doesn't know anything about cars, but he sure is eager. And I think he could learn stuff. Dennis just stares at me, nodding slightly, a long ash hovering at the end of a cigarette, deciding whether to jump off the cliff or not. I redouble my efforts. I tell Dennis that this won't just be one job for one homie, but will create a ripple effect of peace in the entire neighborhood. Long drags of silence and a stony stare. Finally, I give up and shut up. I've done the best that I can, and I'm ready to call it a day. Then Dennis takes one last sucking drag on his cigarette and releases it into the air, smoke wafting in front of my face, clouding my view. Once every trace of smoke is let out, he looks at me, and this is the only thing he says that day. I will teach him everything I know. And so Anthony becomes a mechanic. He would give me periodic updates. I learned how to do a lube job today. I fixed a carburetor all by myself. He hands me a photograph one day. There's Anthony with a broad smile, a face smudged with axle grease. Work shirt with Anthony embroidered proudly on his chest. No question, to look at his face is to know that its owner is a transformed man. But standing next to him in the picture, with his arm around Anthony, is Dennis, an equally changed human being. The ones outside have been let in. Compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It is a covenant between equals. Compassion is always, at its most authentic, about a shift from a cramped world of self-preoccupation into a more expansive place of fellowship, of true kinship. We are being called to fellowship and to kinship in this world. We are being called, and we are here to love with the love of Jesus, the love that Jesus brought to this world and shared with his fellow human being. We are here to discover our own divine nature, the Christ nature that lives within us. And what I realized by reading this book is really that you don't have to believe in that mythic Christ, the Christ of the Christian church, the one who died to save you from your sins. You don't have to believe in that mythic Christ in order to believe in Christ consciousness, that universal mystic Christ. And you don't have to believe in that mythic Christ in order to embrace the man Jesus who walked this planet. You don't have to believe in that in order to embrace and love and cherish the man Jesus and all that he stood for while he was on this planet. After all, Ernest Holmes tells us that Jesus was not the great exception, but that Jesus was the great example. In The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says, as the human gave way to the divine, as man gave way to God, as the flesh gave way to the spirit, as the will of division gave way to the will of unity, Jesus, the man, became the living Christ. We can look upon Jesus from this viewpoint, and we were able to study his life as a living example. We are being invited by our souls to give way to our divine nature. We are being invited by our souls to move from division to unity and inclusion and compassion and kindness. in that book, Through Pagan Eyes, he says, evangelical Christians often proclaim that there is a God-shaped void in the heart of every human being, that only Jesus can fill this void. Surely there can be nothing further than from the truth. Within each and every person, regardless of creed or religious experience, there is a presence, not a void of the sacred. Even though this presence of perfect compassion and love may not be recognized, it is true spiritual incarnation. It happened to Jesus. It happened to you and me. All of the power of perfect love is incarnated within all people, for all are the temples of the Spirit that God is. We are here to discover that presence within us and to bring that into the world in a way that is beneficial. Jesus showed us what we are. And so I have another question for you, and I invite you to close your eyes again and to ask yourself, that all-knowing wisdom of your own soul, what can I do so that I can live from my own Christ nature to a greater degree? What can I do so that I might live from my own Christ nature to a greater degree? And I invite you to actually quietly say that out loud so that you can hear your own words. Your eyes. And so my invitation to you this week is to remind yourself of why you are here, of why you came here to this planet, and to keep that at the forefront of your mind. And when you find yourself in any given situation, to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? To ask yourself, what would my own Christ nature do? To ask yourself, what would love do? And to recognize when it is that you're seeing through those eyes of judgment. To notice when you're seeing other people as less than, or as undeserving, or as something less than the spiritual being that they really are. To notice when you're coming from a place of separation or a place of otherness. And in those moments, to remind yourself that truly there is only one, and that we are each outpicturings of that one. Then you will be acting as a healing presence in this world. Then you'll be discovering your own Christ nature. And then you will be living with purpose. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of awakening. Awakening to the presence of the infinite one that we live in. And awakening to the presence that lives within you. That is always knocking at your heart, so that it might be expressed more fully. So blessings to each of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we turn our attention to the truth with a capital T, that it is at every single moment of our entire lives that we walk in this presence. and that we walk with this presence, and that we have come here as this presence here in human form. And so I recognize that all that God is, all of the peace, all of the love, all of the beauty and the magnificence, the magic, the splendor of the divine lives within each single and every single one of us. That we have come here to give way to that presence. And so today there is a larger opening within us. There is a willingness. There is a declaration and an acceptance in each of us to be here and share that light, to share that love, that inclusion and kinship and kindness and oneness with the world. For we are truly here as the divine clothed in human form. And so I know today that each and every single one of us is led on this path of unfolding, that the perfect people and the perfect situations show up in our lives to support us in being that light. And that as we move out into the world and share that light, it acts as a healing balm to this world. And so I know right now that that infinite presence unfolds itself within us as all that we could ever need, as wholeness and health, as abundance and prosperity, as peace and well-being, and most importantly, as love. And in that, we live the most magnificent lives. And so it is with a grateful heart for this and so much more that I release this word into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself in a most beautiful way. And for this, I give thanks. And I say, and so it is. And so I have a couple of invitations for you. One is that we will be back here in 2 weeks. Oh, there's an offering. I'll do these invitations next. Yes, so it is now time for our offering. I forget that because I'm so used to recording at home, and we don't do that at home. So it is now time for our offering. So if you have an offering, I invite you to come up and place it in the basket up here. So I invite you to join me in a blessing of this offering. How grateful I am, actually, to be a part of Living Beyond Limits. How grateful I am not just to be its spiritual leader, but to be a part of this family and this energy and this consciousness and this desire and intention to be a beneficial presence in the world. And so I bless this offering, knowing that it blesses each one of us because it is the thing that supports this ministry. Well, and God, of course. And so I bless this offering. I bless each and every single one of you that is here today. And I invite you with me to send a blessing out into this entire world, to every person, to every home, to every heart, to every politician, to every country, to every continent, to every animal, to this entire earth. And I say, thank you, God, and so it is. And now, oh, we have an affirmation. Carol's going to come up and share our affirmation with us.
Thank goodness you guys are here to remind me.
All right, everybody. Repeat after me. Today I act from inclusion, kinship, and compassion. Today I act from inclusion, kinship, and compassion. I give way to my own divine nature. I give way to my own divine nature. And I discover the Christ within me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Okay, here are my invitations. We will be here again in 2 weeks at 10 a.m. as the weather's getting warmer. And as I say that to you all, we are actually, I think, looking for a new outdoor space, one that has less activity and distractions and noise and maybe easier parking. So we would like to be outside, and we would like shade, and we would like easy parking. So keep your eyes and ears open, and if you have any ideas, I'd love to hear them. And just to know that the perfect space is ours. It's actually much quieter today right now, which is really nice. And but I hear parking was really hard today. So anyway, it would be great to be, I don't know, in a business that isn't open and has a courtyard, or I could see us on the restaurant of a patio that doesn't serve breakfast and isn't open until dinner time. Something where we could have a little more space to ourselves. The practitioners and I have been talking this week that we've done a lot of energetic work here today, and that was part of moving us to try to create more of a container that feels holy and sacred. And so that's what our intention is to do that, to continue to meet outside. So at this time, right now, it's every other week and 10 o'clock in 2 weeks. It'll be Mother's Day also. We are starting a new workshop that starts May 6th. It is part two of the one that we just taught. It is called Keys to the Spiritual Path. Barbara Conant has a sign-up sheet if you would like to sign up. It's 3 weeks. My intention is to do it at 12:30 and at 7 p.m. like we did last time if we get enough people to sign up. The cost, again, is $35. So it starts, I think it's like 3 weeks away or something, 3 weeks. And in the meantime, we are continuing on Thursday nights to do connection and spiritual practice for the next 2 weeks. So we'd love to see you there at 7 p.m. If you get our emails, you get that the Zoom login information. If you're not on our email, talk to Ray. He'll make sure that you're getting our emails. We are continuing to do ministry of prayer. We have prayer shawls, and we are happy to support you in prayer during the week. If you have a prayer request, you can give that information to Barbara Conant as well. And that is it for my invitations. Know that you are loved and that we are all so grateful that you are a part of this spiritual family and that you are here sharing your Sunday morning with us. So love to you all and blessings to you all.